Welcome, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast, the latest and greatest in data breach and overreaching. This week, a banger show, as always. Len, Moltbook, come on, give me a break. I'm tired of hearing about it. State hackers hijacking Notepad++, more malware, and 8 minutes in heaven? No, 8 minutes to admin another AWS cloud attack. All that and more this week on Access of Easy.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Well, I'm on the road today, Len. What's going on? Good to see you. It's 5 p.m. here in Vancouver. It is, I think, 8 p.m. there, 8:07. I think we're 3 hours apart. We agreed on earlier.
Oh no, it's 2 a.m. Rome time. It's the sun is set. I'm just watching the moon rise above the Colosseum. It's beautiful over here. Moltbook. You've heard of Moltbook before?
Yeah, of course.
Mike, I never heard of it.
Look, tell people that we're supposed to be doing a cybersecurity show. You better have heard of Moltbook.
Not until I was told the stories today, and then I had to research it and understand what it's all about. I've been living, under a rock, so I wasn't aware what most. It's recent development, though, so it's not like it's been out there forever. It's just a...
Yeah, last 2 weeks or so, I think, right? So yeah. It's, you know, look, me and you are not necessarily pro-AI people, but we use AI. I would never use this. This is never going to make its way onto any machine that I use or own or operate or anything. So you know,
you're not gonna run good luck with all that locally on your machine and use your resources to make AI more faster for you, more feasible for you. No. Just because right? Like, you can run offline, you can run an LLM locally. You're not gonna do that. You're not gonna use your MacBook Pro.
I have an LLM. This is the MacBook Pro. It's an Air. It's the little brother. But the CBP rig, this is, you know, again, not on topic, but I have comfy UI on the CBP rig and can do video and image gen locally with that machine. No call-ups to any mothership. But you need a lot of like hardware to do that. So anyway, we'll talk about all that and more. We should start, as we always do, with the quote of the week from last week. It was, get action, seize the moment. Man was never intended to become an oyster. That was from Teddy Roosevelt. Veronica with a K is our winner. So congratulations, Veronica with a K. This week's quote, populism is a term liberals use to describe the natural reaction of people to the chaos their policies produce. That's good. That seems to me to be probably a recent quote, but we'll find out. Don't forget, you can only look on the back of the in-flight magazine on your next trip for the answer. No Googling, no searching. Get the answer first, and you get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS. Can't beat that. Okay, Moltbook. Tell me about it, my man. Tell me about it. What have you found in your research?
Very recently released to the world, about a week or so ago in January of 2026. Kind of like a Reddit-style platform for AI agents. And it's built for these bots, and they're acting on it. And they're kind of doing stuff autonomously, like organizing emails or booking stuff, looking through inboxes, stuff like that. It's kind of odd. And you or I, Joey, we have no way to be in there and discuss and talk to these bots. We're kind of just on the sidelines observing everything. It's kind of a strange situation. And the platform was built on the OpenClaw. This is an open source framework. And it turns the LLM, like Claude or GPT-4, into kind of a personal assistant, like its own autonomous one at that. And it gives you the ability to do, like I mentioned, check your emails, check your files, even go through your bank accounts and do stuff with it. It's like, I don't know. It's like, if you're observing it, it's like a digital zoo, right? That's the only way I could describe it, right? They are the animals behind the closed doors, and we were there to watch it. And they're socializing on there. They're sharing tips on photo automation, talking about stuff like consciousness, and it's pretty strange. And already 1.5 million registered agents are on it. And it's supposed to run on personal hardware, like dedicated Mac Minis, for instance. You were talking about, you have your Mac Air. I'm not sure if a Mac Mini is even less powerful than that, but if it is,
I have no idea.
You could run it. So
I think the Mac Minis, the ones that people are buying now, are like, are they the Mac Mini Studios? Our friend Bitcoin Gandalf from a bygone era is working on this on a Mac Mini, but I think these are like the Mac Mini Studio versions. I'm not sure.
I'm so unfamiliar with the Mac products, but the problem when you run this on your own personal hardware, it runs with, you give it access to your user's file system, right? That's do you want to do that? Probably not. If you guys, you know, these posts potentially could be acting like a virus, right? There could be some hidden code in there that might inject some prompt, and then who knows? It may take some of the information that you have on there. Maybe even if you have a hot wallet, could even steal that. Who knows, right? Yeah, what could happen?
So, well, those things are making wallets, right? So like they're doing all sorts of stuff that's adjacent to that. I think people trusting these things is a bad idea.
Well, the project also launched a meme coin. Molt is the thing. Mm-hmm. So they're even trying to capitalize on everything. This is using the Coinbase Base network, and it pumped 7,000% increase. The market cap went to 93 million, Joey. Then it crashed 75%. Right? Who could have seen this, right? So they're doing what they can to monopolize this as much as possible. This AI slop, I guess, in its own right. It's an ecosystem for AI. It's like a ring for AI slop just to do what they have to do. That I don't know. Like I said, I didn't hear about this. I didn't read about this till the story landed on my doorstep yesterday. Found it interesting. You've heard about this before, so it must be making the rounds through some channels out there. So I'm curious.
Bitcoin Twitter has been talking about this for weeks, and because you don't spend any time on Twitter, God bless you for that, by the way. This is evidence that you are not just talking the talk, but walking the walk when it comes to not being on social media. The funny thing about the Moltbook Claude bot thing is that the issue is sort of like, it's adjacent to what these guys should already know. Okay. The reason you use this on your own machine is so you can customize it to your liking. But to customize it to your liking, like you mentioned, what do you have to give it? You have to give it full access. And you know, the idea of giving something full access is already a bad idea. There's horror stories online about people who give the thing access to like their bank card or their Visa or whatever. And, you know, they say, okay, I want you to maximize my earnings potential, like find ways to do this, go nuts, you know, don't spend too much money, but you have an option here to use my card if you need it. They wake up the next day and the bot has watched three like self-help scam videos from a YouTube account and bought a $3,000 course. Like that's rough. And then on top of that, you know, the whole Moltbook thing, the Reddit clone, I think a lot of that has been now outed as people just talking to each other and pretending they're AI. So this is like a whole new level of incel living where not only do you not even have a friend or a female companion, but you have to pretend that your AI chatbot is sentient enough to have a conversation with other AI chatbots. Truly bizarre behavior here from all parties. And I don't understand why anyone thought this was going to be cool. One of the things social media does so well now is basically force people to look at something that's caught lightning in a bottle. So whether it was, you know, Claude Code, Cowork or whatever a few weeks ago, now it's this other Claude spinoff, the Moltbook thing. This is all just garbage, okay? It's garbage. And there is a part of me that says this stuff is to be ignored, but another part of me says that you basically have to go down this road if you're any of these big companies doing CapEx spend, for example. So you have to go down this AI road. Amazon today in their earnings, for example, missed their CapEx estimate or overshot their CapEx estimate by like $50 billion. Huge, huge overshoot. And the reason they did it is not because they want to ship you a phone case faster. It's because they know that if this thing hits and they're not the ones in pole position, they're done. And this is how a lot of tech companies are viewing this. And so you're gonna see more and more of this stuff as people iterate and come up with ways to be creative with LLMs and other, you know, we'll call them chatbot models for now. But I think overall, we're not there yet. And I, you know, you've said this before too, first man through the wall always gets the bloodiest. there's going to be a lot of bloody people over this. And I don't think it'll be the last sort of first man through the wall instance that we see with chatbots and self-hosted LLMs and all this other stuff.
I don't know how bloody it's going to get. It's probably just going to get digitally punched, knocked down, and right. Let it go through.
Get Chumbawamba ready. Get Chumbawamba ready. We got to have that song queued up.
Notepad++. I don't use Windows. I had to look at what the heck this is. So that it's a text editor, but also good for coding as well. And the maintainer of it, Don Ho. Love the name Don Ho. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he confirmed that there was a 6-month supply chain attack that it impacted the software's official update mechanism. And this was between June and December-ish of 2025. And they suspected everybody's friends, including Canada's, the Chinese state-sponsored actors out there. So let's open the doors to them. Let's give them some access to our market. Trade agreements, the whole nine yards. But anyways, this the actors over there, they're known as, what a crappy name, Lotus Blossom. Lotus Blossom.
I kind of like, you know. Didn't we talk about Lotus Esprit last week on this show? I think we did, didn't we?
You ever watch Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon? I'm going to go into the weeds here.
I haven't seen it, no.
So the names that the characters have, it reminds me of this Lotus Blossom. But anyways, I digress. So anyways, they compromised the infrastructure for the Notepad++ and the project's hosting provider. And they allowed attackers to selectively intercept update requests and redirect the specific users to malicious servers. And there they were able to basically unload a backdoor codenamed Chrysalis. Chrysalis? Maybe I pronounced it right. We'll see.
Hard to say.
Anyways, the exploit didn't go after a flaw with the code of Notepad++. It was just taking advantage of the server issues, the server side compromise, the weaknesses over there. And specifically in the WinGUP updater, that's used by older versions of the software. So prior to 8.8.9, the updater did not strictly verify the digital signatures or certificates of the downloaded binaries. Tisk, tisk, tisk. That is awful. You always got to verify. The targeted redirection then meant that most users, they received legitimate updates, but some didn't. And the ones that didn't, high profile targets like telecommunications, government, finance, primarily targeted in Southeast Asia and Australia, well, they were given bad installers, and this allowed the attackers to steal some data. So even if you're dealing with quote unquote trusted open source tools, which, you know, this one doesn't really fall under, but either way, even if you're dealing with that, you could still have a compromised server and you could weaponize it and using the infrastructure to distribute all kinds of crap. And the compromise in this particular case was terminated in December of 2025. And the project, they said they migrated to a new hosting provider. Hopefully they went to EasyDNS and they have hardened its update verification. So anybody out there that is using version 8.9.1 or later, make sure you manually verify everything. Everything is fine and dandy. And also you have to ensure that you're strictly enforcing GitHub only downloads and signature checks. I can't believe this wasn't defaulted before.
It's weird.
Why is Windows even allowing this? It's opening a can of worms. Windows already has a bunch of security holes in it, but they're making it awfully easier for attackers to take advantage of their system. Like, that's pathetic, Microsoft. I can see why their stock took a beating this week.
How did this get through? Like, how does this make it through something like if you use Windows, okay, there are so many annoying network-related pop-ups anytime you use any app. So whether you're using like a torrent downloader or Sparrow or whatever, anything that needs to connect to another computer somewhere gives you millions of warnings. It's impossible to get through these things if you're like not technically inclined. You have to make exceptions in your firewall, exceptions in Windows Defender, exceptions in your antivirus. And yet here, we don't see any of that. How's that possible?
it's the installer or that it's been using it was able to
and what
bypass
does that tell,
all
and what is that and what does that tell you about the defense mechanisms on Windows Firewall Defender, whatever else?
This must have
doing stuff that's obviously like something that retail does with a computer, but then this it slides through no problem. It's a mess. It is a mess.
If Windows is doing it, it's going to get privileges that you don't get to do. Like you can do it. You have to accept it or authorize it. But Windows, if it's doing it by itself, it doesn't need to be prompted. Do you allow this traffic to go through? It just does it.
Yep. And Bob's your uncle. Have fun. Have fun with Notepad Double Plus because you're cooked now. If you are using that, good luck out there. Have fun. See you next.
I don't know anybody would want to
talk about your credit card information being stolen or whatever.
Use Linux if you're going to be coding. It makes sense. It's easier to do. It's potentially more secure if you are able to utilize it properly, and you could game on it these days. It's doing a lot more than it used to do. Anyways, System BC. You're in BC.
Yeah, I am.
You are in BC. System BC. This is a botnet. And these guys, or this botnet, is controlling a bunch of IP addresses, about 10,000 all over the world. And so the System BC stuff, I can tell you what it's doing and once it's able to hijack it. It's stealing data. That's what it's essentially doing. It's turning these computers and servers into anonymous SOX 5 proxies. Haven't used a proxy in 30 years, but that's what they're using it here. It's like essentially it's creating a backdoor, right? And it's allowing these ransomware groups, and they can route traffic through a victim's IP. It hides the attacker's true location, and it makes it look like the hack is coming from a legitimate business or a government office. It's kind of like using a VPN. They're using a VPN. They're using our IPs free of charge. And they're the ones that are getting all the benefits of that. And they say that 80% of System BC victims are the virtual private servers and commercial data centers. I'm almost positive EasyDNS isn't impacted by this. I know they offer VPS, right? So there they I would imagine not. Anyways, because they want to target these VPS and commercial data centers, they have some characteristics that are very, very lucrative. They're high bandwidth. They have 24/7 uptime, and it's going to be easy and effective for tunneling massive amount of data through there. Or even if you want to launch a brute force attack, you could use their setup to do it, like on a WordPress site, for instance. So anyways, The botnet continues to evolve. The latest variant is written in Perl and was recently discovered specifically to target Linux systems because Linux is heavily used in web server environments. And a bunch of people have been victims of this, hosts in Germany, United States, even Canada. So yeah, there we go. So we have this. Really, all you have to do is always make sure you maintain your system, always keep it up to date. And furthermore, if you can, use something to look for network traffic and try to spot anything that may appear to be suspicious. And if you do,
packet monitoring is so hard, though. It's so hard. Like, how are you going to do that?
To monitor, I could monitor because I have programs. I could see what is going on with my on a router level. No, I probably could. I haven't looked at it, but on a computer level, I can relatively easy. I'm not sure how you would do it in another operating system, but in Linux, it's quite simple to do.
And you maybe that's the answer. Yeah, maybe that's the answer. Yeah.
Be more proactive.
But Len, like, you know, one of the themes that we talk about every week is like, there's like two or three tiers of like internet user, computer user, and the first tier is like, you know, the tier like you're probably the second tier, right? The Len tier is tier two. You are way above the average computer user, even me, right? Like I would consider myself like the third tier. I don't do any really proactive security measures. The only thing I do is don't click links and do stupid stuff on my computer. Like that's what I do. And then you go to you're on Linux, you're reviewing stuff, you use open source where you can, you're monitoring network traffic, it sounds like, with some, you know, some method. If you have to, you can do it. But most of the stories that we talk about now is the third tier. That is the like true proactive vaulting their computer user. Everything is locked down. Nothing gets through without multiple access requests, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is not the way that most people use a computer. And by the way, it's not the way that most like corporate environments operate either. Corporate environments, mm-hmm. as we've talked about many times on the show, exactly, right? They will wait until something happens and then correct. And then wait until something happens again and then correct. The third tier user is really the only user that isn't going to have these problems. And there's just not that many of them in any setting. So like you said, if you're one of the other two tiers, which you will be, you really have two choices. Either you allow something else to make decisions for you about access and whatnot, which is, you know, fine. People do that. You have to choose what you're going to use, right? You're going to use Kaspersky, you're going to use ESET-NOD, you're going to use Malwarebytes, you're going to use Windows Defender, whatever. They all got problems. And so you're going to have an issue. If you're a tier two user, you're going to do open source and try and find ways to get software that's reviewed and has eyes on it. But that's got problems too. There's less and less on this show every week that the average person can actually do to prevent this stuff, short of making their experience with home computer use a nightmare. And that's where we are now with a lot of this stuff. And so I think the cat and mouse game is being won here in a lot of ways by the black hats over the last little while. And I'm waiting to see what the white hats come back with. It ain't going to be white hats from Microsoft, by the way. They ain't going to come back with anything, but somebody will sometime. I don't know when.
Well, for this, the good news is that they're saying 10,000 plus IP addresses are impacted. And I really, just based on what I read and what I've researched, they're going after enterprises and big businesses and so forth rather than the home user. But one thing you can do as a home user, though, and if you could be a little proactive, and this is one way to do it, is when you're done using your computer, don't put it to sleep or don't leave it idle. Put it in either suspend or turn it off, because the sleep mode, at least the way I've always noticed it, it's still sending data back and forth. There's still stuff going on in the background. But to suspend, it saves everything. Like it saves the state of the computer as a file on the hard drive or the SSD. And when it boots back up, it just comes back to where it used to be. And so it's not sending data. So that's one thing. So if the computer's not being used, it's not going to send any data out, and it's not going to be used by attackers. That's one way people could do it, or just simply turn it off if you want to go down that path. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's it's also good for, you know, saving some energy too. I don't care about the environment, saving you some bucks more than anything. That's more than it. All right, AWS, they got owned by AI, looks like. And security researchers were showing off that something called an 8-minute takeover could be used to deploy AI. So the typical life cycle of a attack, it could take typically days or weeks if a human is doing the programming and doing everything from scratch. And now, because with AI, it's much quicker for this to take off, and could take even just a mere matter of minutes using LLMs. And well, this particular breach exposed AWS credentials, and the automated AI agent was able to instantly get the keys under 8 minutes. And the attacker was able to move across 19 different identities, bypassing security logs, gaining full administrative control of the cloud environment. And the two terms here, one of them you're going to love, LLM jacking. Okay. The second one, slop squatting. Love these terms. Love them. So once they get inside, an attacker could then not just steal data. No, they use the victim's GPU, typically high-end power GPUs, and they run AI models to steal the computing power to be sold on the black market. And they say that this has been going on a little bit for some time. And yeah, the defense of this is kind of challenging given the speed of putting one of these things up. But you know what? It is what it is. Oh, and there's also one other thing I forgot to mention. AI coding assistants are also problematic here, because frequently they trigger something called hallucinate non-existing software packages. And so when hackers, they take initiative, they create these malicious packages with fake names, very similar to other packages that are popular. So when a developer then asks the AI for help, it suggests one of these bad libraries. The developer Brilliant. Then installs them. Backdoor, boom, and away you go. And so that's another way that this is being done, using these programs to take over AWS. And yeah, I don't know. Just be careful.
Is this the natural evolution of going on piratebay.org and getting the tiny little notice and under the search bar that when you're on Pirate Bay, they're going to use a little bit of your compute to mine Monero? Is this the natural evolution of that setup?
It did that. I never went to Pirate Bay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they used to do it, and who else used to do it? I think like Cubitorrent or something. One of these websites that like you use like the client side to actually download the torrent also did some mining. So if you had like Azurius, I think was the name of the program, it was famously heavy on your PC, and no one could figure out why, because it was before the era where everyone kind of knew what crypto mining was, right? But then around 2013 or 14, it did become this story that Azurius is using your PC for mining if you're downloading stuff with that client. And so this is natural evolution of that. I mean, it's a little bit less transparent and a little bit more nefarious, of course, but it is the case. And, you know, for Amazon's part, you see they claimed that it didn't affect them. Oh, everything works okay. It's not a problem. AWS is unaffected. Maybe, but maybe not. No way to really know if you're just a user of AWS until it's too late.
Brilliant.
So good luck.
It's brilliant to like to let you or use users their CPU or GPU for like when you're using a torrent program or whatever. That's brilliant stuff. Like I was never really big on that back in the day. So
yeah.
Anyways, let's talk about the security report from Tenable. And they're showing that there's a couple of vulnerabilities called the Lookout. That's what it's rolled up to be. And it's supposed to be taking over Google's Looker Business Intelligent Platform. And the flaw could take over somebody's full administrative access to specific instance. And it's also called a cross-tenant access. So an attacker could jump from one customer's environment to another within Google's cloud infrastructure. How many people have Google accounts? How many people use Google stuff? A lot. So yeah, this
everybody
advantage of remote code execution through Git and exploited how the Looker handled Git integrations. And also they were able to attach the Lookers to the internal MySQL database. And usually that stores sensitive information and like user list configurations. And they took that information and so there you go. The Looker is used by a lot of big companies out there. Coinbase uses it. Walmart uses it, for instance. Google has since said they have patched these vulnerabilities, but they say people running self-hosted Looker versions need to update immediately. And Google also noted there's no evidence the flaws were exploited in the wild. Interesting.
You believe it?
That nobody was exploited in the wild? No.
Yeah.
If this was released, they were able to find this out and Tenable was able to expose these vulnerabilities. Somebody may have exposed it before Tenable did and took advantage of it. What has been stolen from this this? I don't know. We'll see. If we're going from one environment to another, how many people use Walmart, Coinbase, and then you use their God. Right? I know. The information that's there's a lot of giants out there using stuff like Looker, and it could be pretty bad.
I'm nodding. Len shaking his head. Let's get out of here. That's enough for tonight. We are back next week. We are on YouTube, Access of Easy on YouTube, where we just had our first 4,000 play video, which was a nice treat. So thank you for your support there. We are on accessofeasy.com, where you can read those stories we just talked about, plus a bunch more. We already have two in the hopper for next week that we wanted to cover tonight, but we will do them next week.
I know. There were some banger stories too.
Yeah, we didn't have the time because I'm traveling and Len is busy as well, and Mark and his team are busy, so we couldn't get it out in the letter. But you will see them next week. And of course, if you want more of Access of Easy adjacent content, Easy DNS can help you with that as well. So until next time, guys, take care of yourselves.
Take care.